Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my mizzens, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com. Our phone number each and every week is 267-297-1397. If you are a part of the Skype network and wish to be on the show at any point from now to 11 p.m., you can add Sir Rockin'. That is our executive producer and the god of internet itself. During the 10 o'clock hour, we are going to be graced by a former world champion. It took a lot of wrangling to get him. Ring of Honor commentator and former ROH world champion Nigel McGuinness will be here. Talk about all the fun that's been going on in the Sinclair Media Network and the upcoming TV tapes and iPay-per-views. The Spud Guy is joining us as always. Kevin Scott and Phil Strum may join us later to talk some WWE, some TNA, maybe some Lucha Libre USA. But for the third week in a row, we've been thankful that Crossfire Entertainment LLC, which is holding an event in Nashville, Tennessee at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds on November the 5th, remember, $2 from every ticket you buy, whether it's the general admission or the VIP seating, $2 goes to a wonderful cause, which is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You can go to crossfirellc.bze.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Last week, we had Al Snow. The week before that, we had Fit Finley. This week we have someone who's making his Crossfire Wrestling debut. He will be taking on the notorious KID, Mr. Kid Cash. No, we don't have him. We have a guy who is a former ECW star, former WCW star, former WWE star, and most recently you saw him on TNA Wrestling. Doctor, oh wait, he's not a doctor. Is he really a doctor? Stevie Richards is here. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, how you guys doing? I can tell by the way you prepped my intro that the class of guests has gone down dramatically over the past 3 weeks. Ending with Nigel's pretty easy to get a hold of. I talk to him every day. I don't know why you guys have so much trouble talking to him.
It's getting him because we had to go through ROH to get him, and I didn't know if he was going to want to talk because I figured, okay, he's just doing TV and he seems like a private guy from what we've heard. I got questions emailed to me for you up the wazoo, and the number one that came up from
I think this is only the third or fourth interview I've done since I left WWE in 2008. I don't really do these interviews too much either.
And we're honored that you took the time to be here with us. One question that came up to a lot of people that may not have been a fan of yours in ECW but knew you from WCW, WWE, and TNA is the name itself, Stevie Richards, was that something that came up in training? Was that something you came up with on your own? Or when you got to ECW, did they give that to you? How'd the name even come about?
No, I came up with the name just basically because my middle name is Steven. My real name is Michael Manna, so the Richards name just kind of came up because I looked at it this way, even at a young age where I didn't realize it, because when I was telling people back in high school, hey, I wanted to be a professional wrestler, even though I was a mentally gifted student, which wrestling sort of works against the grain of that. But I was on my way to going to college and kind of like being a scholar and doing all these other nerdy things that I like to do even up till today. But, I knew back then that if and when I get into wrestling, people snicker and laugh at me for wanting to get into it. People snicker and laugh at wrestling. They still do. They still don't take it seriously. And I figured, well, why not take one thing out of the equation and at least have a name that sounds realistic rather than like a stupid name like the Jackhammer or the
the Working Man.
What's that?
The Working Man.
Yeah, like a stupid name like AJ Styles or something like that, like a silly name that nobody, that's not a real name.
It's funny that he brought up gimmicks, because I'm about 3 months into training, and our trainer wanted us to start thinking about gimmicks and wanted us to start kind of thinking where we wanted to go. And we had the opportunity about 3 weeks ago, Tommy Dreamer came in to work a show for my home promotion, and he ran a training seminar before the show, and I had the opportunity to get in the ring in front of him for about 5 minutes, and he said, I can kind of see you like a Dusty Rhodes or a Sandman, an everyday working man. That's a good name. We should call you the Working Man. And I'm like, great. So now I've been trying to pair things up with the Working Man.
Yeah, I kind of thought in the same way, like I needed a gimmick or something, and it was sort of instilled in me very on from day one, learn how to work. And then every time I would think of maybe I should have a gimmick attached to Stevie Richards or something, if that's going to be my name, I always get, you don't even know how to work, you suck, learn how to work. And that was always the thing. If you know how to work and you can kind of spawn off these other personalities, like I've been lucky enough to be Stevie Richards over the past 20 years, but Big Stevie Cool, Dr. Steve, it's always seemed to have a spinoff, but I've always managed to keep that central thing. And because I can work and do these gimmicks, I believe that that's what made them all work. They weren't gimmicks. They were just an extension of my creativity.
I would venture to say, in my own opinion, that probably one of my favorite gimmicks of yours, aside from the Blue World Order, was the right to censor.
Yeah, and that's very, very realistic too, because, I felt like the wrestling didn't need to do all that stuff. So when it might not have been as, zealous as I was, in my promos, but, I believe that. Why do we have to do all this stuff? People just want to see wrestling. And I think that's more prevalent today than ever. People just want to see wrestling and not all this other soap opera garbage.
With the way that the right to censor came out in the mid to late 90s, and then today, when you see CM Punk's promos and hear what he had to say in his promos through July and August, do you think that now, done with the proper individuals, that the right to censor could actually be sort of a babyface faction as opposed to being a heel faction like they were in the 90s? And could it work today?
No. Yeah, it could work. It could work no matter what. I don't know. You can make anybody a babyface, and you can shove anybody down anybody's throat if the office and the machine wants to. But it's easier with the right to censor. Was so easy because you were just taking things away that people liked. And it actually helped the wrestlers, too, because we can still say wrestlers, right? Not soap opera action stars, or whatever they call them now.
But we say wrestlers on this program.
We're allowed to say wrestlers.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm so afraid of getting in trouble with a company I don't even work for anymore. But anyway, the thing with the right to censor was not only did it re-educate the fans and make them appreciate when somebody went through a table or got hit with a chair or anything that was necessary at the time, it also, I felt like, and Vince was smart enough to see this, it saved the talent's bodies, because now there was a reason without saying, hey, we're not going to do all this crash and burn stuff. All the heat was on me and the people in my group. So it was very clever and very smart, and it helped the guys prolong their careers, in my opinion.
Stevie Richards joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can join us in our chat room as well at wildtalkradio.com if you're listening on Justin TV or Ultimate Sports Talk. Jersey Girl has an interesting question. When you worked in ECW, other than performing in the ring, did you have any other odd jobs? I remember calling about trying to get an ECW show booked for my high school, and a voice that sounded an awful like yours called me back.
Well, my voice then didn't sound like the voice I have now, but, Lloyd Van Buren was more than happy to help anybody with, their ticket requests or any other stuff, or the condition of Stevie Richards after having the guardrail dropped on his neck. So I got plenty of calls. Lloyd Van Buren, should I say, got plenty of calls that he fielded, after that incident. Yeah, I filled a lot of ticket orders. Paulie paid me a weekly salary to work above Carver W. Reed at the time, and it was great. 7 days a week of working for ECW. And then Dan Sapolsky and I used to play six-man scramble on the Super Famicom, which is the Japanese version of the Super NES. And Taz actually got mad at me because I was really mad at him because he was mean to me back then. And I created his character, and I made his character very weak. And I made my character very strong and beat him up all the time. So he legitimately got mad at me and wanted to beat me up for making his six-man scramble Fire Pro Wrestling character weak.
He was just a little bit uptight back then.
You've been involved in some very famous moments in wrestling history. You know, you were with the probably one of the most famous bits in ECW was the Raven Sandman crucifixion. You have the introduction of the Blue World Order, which was fantastic because, as you said on the DVD, it's a parody. They can't sue us. I mean, how much fun did you have poking at them?
Well, I wasn't that smart back then to the parody or to the legal ramifications. And plus, I just didn't want to get heat with a company that I could and did eventually work for. You know, I didn't know what those guys thought of it. I didn't know those guys. And I was just doing exactly what I was taught. And, you know, back then, you know, there's nothing that I knew, which sometimes worked to my advantage because I would go out there and just do stuff without worrying about getting heat or doing anything. I got myself over just because that's what I was told to do, and I didn't worry about anything else. So, you know, but I did worry about that because I knew eventually I would meet Kevin Nash, God Hall, Hogan, those guys, and they thought it was great. You know, they read me about it a bunch of times, but they thought it was great in the end.
Did you guys worry with the ECW fan base when you went out there? Did you maybe stand there and go, oh God, these guys are going to throw crap at us?
No, you don't forget. You forget that at the Blue World Order point, I went out there for at least a year and a half with Daisy Dukes and a half shirt on. I won the world tag team titles with Raven twice. And, you know, somebody in the dirt sheet back then said, the fans believed it so much, they hated me so much, that they should have thought that I didn't, quote, deserve to be a world tag team champion. So, you know, the thing about the ECW fans is funny is Raven was smart enough to see that, you know, Cactus pointed it out one time, Mick Foley, that, you know, they're just a bunch of latent homosexuals. There's just a bunch of guys in the audience at the ECW arena. So why not have this character go out there and sort of play upon what their biggest insecurities are. And, you know, it was easy to get heat. Everybody else was trying to be a tough guy. Everybody else was trying to be a UFC guy, the toughest guy in ECW, blood, guts, all this stuff. I was smart enough to see, oh, my God, I could put this half shirt and Daisy Dukes on and do comedy and not get smashed with a chair every night. That's great. Unfortunately, he was working with the Sandman, which meant I got caned every night between my eyes, which is even worse than a chair shot. So, I just didn't care. You know, there's people like that sometimes would follow me home because I live 10-15 minutes from the arena. So I would have sometimes fans follow me home and try to assault me. Fans would break the windows of my cars, you know, do certain stupid stuff. These are supposedly fans that are smart in the business. That's how stupid they are.
Oh, my God. That just sounds like something that Al Snow had talked about last week when he had worked in the territorial days of having people throw coffee at you or try to stab you or throw that kind of thing. That's just, I never pictured that for the ECW crowd to follow you home like that. It's just, wow.
Well,
was it just that Stevie Richards, the character, was that? I mean, I unfortunately did not get to see your heyday of ECW during that time. I've seen it through videos and tape trades and stuff, but I just can't imagine the ECW audience just being that crazy, because as you just said, and it's pointed out on the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD, they were so smart, they knew everything about everything. Did that kind of make you feel good, going like, okay, these cats want to kill me, yet they're smart?
Yeah, I mean, you just work them, you know, that's what the whole point of the business is, to work the fans. In a good way or a bad way. I like to work them in a good way. You want to make them hate you and not walk out and say, I never wanted to do anything as a heel. Well, I wouldn't say never. Raven taught me. In the beginning, I wanted to do all the cool stuff and even the stuff physically and athletically. I had no business even trying. But, you know, he told me, he goes, these people have to hate. You can't do anything cool. You can't be anything in the ring that people like. And, you know, they ended up liking me anyway, eventually. But, you know, I got a good run as a heel, and I preferred it. I thought it was great that I did that kind of stuff. Yeah, but the people, I mean, everybody can be worked. Nobody's totally smart to everything. So, you know, for these people to think that they can, you know, figure out everything about us, Paulie always had fun tricking the fans, and so did Tommy, so did Raven. And after I got a little smarter, so did I.
You've worked with some incredible individuals through WWE, WCW, ECW, in Japan, stuff like that. Who had the biggest influence on you and taught you the most as you came up?
Raven. Without a doubt, Raven. I wouldn't be anywhere. I wouldn't know what I know today. I wouldn't have matured in the business, even in some ways in my personal life, without Raven. And, you know, I'm sure he's done a million shoot interviews and talked about the kind of person he was back then. You know, but he taught me everything that I need to know about psychology in the ring, how to work. And, you know, Paulie, Tommy, everybody in ECW taught me stuff. But the person who really took the most time to teach me how to work, and obviously we were in the ring together all the time. So I learned by watching and by being thrown into the fire, so to say, no pun intended. But, you know, Raven taught me, and he is still what I consider to be, you know, someone that has one of the best minds in the business. And, you know, that's just somebody I'm always going to owe my career to.
One of the first times I actually got to see you on tape was the Barely Legal pay-per-view, which, you know, you go back to 1997. Do you ever sit there now and just go, did that really happen? Did I really semi-main event the first ECW pay-per-view?
Yeah, you know, back then, I mean, I said it on a Rise and Fall DVD. I mean, I had no idea what I was even doing there. And, you know, I mean, I know I worked hard and I earned the spot in the storyline, and I knew my place in it. You know, I knew I had no chance. So it was all about Terry Funk, you know, his one last stand, his one last run to be world champion. But I was really honored to have a place in that, and that people still kind of thought at least I might have a little bit of a chance, because that's what ECW did. You know, all three of us and anybody in that company who was on that show or any other had a chance of becoming something special. And that was something that I didn't know what was special about that night or what was historic in some ways. Until years and years later, I never really looked back on it and say, wow, that was great. But I do look at that moment almost more fondly than any, because I've never wrestled at a WrestleMania. I've been a part of three or four of them, you know, in different capacities, on the pay-per-view, but that pay-per-view with ECW probably holds a more special place in my heart than anything I've ever done in any company.
Stevie Richards joining us here on All Our Wealth Wrestling Radio. He will be a part of Crossfire's A New Beginning on November the 5th in Nashville, Tennessee. Go to crossfire.llc.vze.com. We mentioned you as a former WCW star, but for a lot of folks, you were there and then you were gone. What was the relationship there? Was it just you went there and things didn't work out, and or did you just, were you there on a short-term contract? I that was another one we got a lot of emails on.
I said in the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD as well. That was me and Raven. Like I said, he's taught me everything that I know about the business, but personally, especially with the way he was, you know, which, you know, his demons back then were really big. I was just a young kid. I don't really drink. I've never done drugs, and I never will. I'm never into the party and stuff. I mean, if we're going to get to my tech stuff later, that's what I've always done. So I've never into that party scene or anything like that. Our personalities are automatically so different, and just clashed all the time. As good as we were on television, off TV we hated each other. So that pretty much came to a head in WCW. And looking back on that, that was a string of rash decisions by somebody who was immature and just kept trying to please everybody, kept trying to do stuff. And you never make decisions, and no matter what you do, when you try so much, so hard for so long, you just keep screwing up over and over and over again, and it gets worse. That's sort of where I was. And plus, I had broke my neck in ECW, and I needed surgery. So eventually, I ended up getting bad, and that's how I got the voice thing and all that. It was just a few years of just like, you know, God was really testing me, you know. And it worked out, thank God.
I know that you're a very big nerd, and I am a nerd in a different way. I'm a wrestling nerd and a comic book nerd and a movie nerd. But I just recently purchased an iPhone 4, not the 4S, just the 4.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's anything I can do on that to improve battery life.
You would probably just want to shut off notifications. That would probably be the number one thing. Go to notification center or shut it off, or, you know, just shut off a lot of notification apps or using notifications, and try to use Wi-Fi as much as possible. But other than that, it's going to, the 4S, I have it right in front of me, eats up a lot of battery. But, you know, you just plug it in. No big deal.
Because I do landscaping for a living, so I, you know, have my phone on me and have either the ESPN radio app or the iPod on their plane, and I noticed that it eats a lot of battery. So I just
get a Multi Juice Pack Plus or a Multi Juice Pack Air. It's a case and a battery built into one. That'll give you double the time. Plus, every time you say Steve Richards on your radio show, I'm keep thinking, because I watch ESPN and I listen to ESPN Radio. I'm always waiting to hear them on the subway fresh take hotline.
Would you, to keep it up with sports, you, sir, would have won $1 million.
Yeah, is this story true? Is this story true?
Yeah, it's up on YouTube. I did it on March 8th, and I pitched the perfect game in MLB 2K11. I was the first one to do it. I did it before the contest went official. But, you know, I wanted to try to reach out to 2K Sports to try to do some social media off it. They were here for spring training in Florida. I wanted to go down and play some games, get content for T4 Show, for my tech site. And they hit an Osama bin Laden cave. They were just not coming out. And, it was funny. Yeah, but I put it up. I mean, it was just one of those things where I started my season. I did a franchise, with Phillies. Skip preseason, just like we all do when we play video games. Like, preseason is a joke. And I just started, and it went with default. Everything was on pro. And obviously that's proven by the video, because I got the 80 point achievement for the perfect game on pro or higher. So, you know, it was cool. It was good for D-cred. That's what I always say.
How disappointing is it as a Phillies fan that St. Louis, who won the wild card on the very last day, is in the World Series, and that stacked rotation of the Phillies is not?
I'm 40, dude. I'm 40 years old. I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm used to them choking. I mean, that was not the worst joke in Philadelphia history. So it was just one of those things. And, you know, Ryan Howard got his Achilles tendon injured, and I hope he heals really quickly. He's a great player.
Well, they're talking about him coming back for June of next year. He'll miss spring training, won't he?
Yeah, the Achilles tendon, you know, it's just, if you've never had that kind of injury, and I can thank God, knock on wood, I had never had it, it's about the worst. I think it's worse than breaking your neck. That's a tendon, you know, like, I think there was horror movies back in the day I used to see when people used to get them cut, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I forget which one that was.
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, yeah, but the Achilles tendons seriously, as far as I know, outside of being really bad with your neck or your back or anything like that, it's about the worst injury you can get as an athlete.
Since we're on a video game topic, I got an email from someone that unfortunately didn't want their email read. If you were voting for video game of 2011, what would be your choice for the best video game of this year?
Batman Arkham City.
It's that good?
It's that good. It's
wow.
I mean, Arkham Asylum's still out there. Arkham City, with all the stuff that you're getting, all the different villains. I put all the official trailers up on our YouTube channel just because I thought people have to see this because it's filled in the gameplay too. I just think it's an awesome game. And if you're a sports fan, I'd have to go with probably, you know, just all the EA ones, like Madden, NHL, not EA for basketball, NBA 2K12. Sports games you can always have. I just played MLB 2K11, my buddy. You can always get a different name. But if you're going to sit down and play a one-player game straight through from beginning to end, I would say Batman Arkham City. And the second one, probably close behind it, just because of the interaction you can do with people in the room and play with the L.A. Noire. That was my surprise hit of the year. Because L.A. Noire, you could sit next to your significant other, your wife, your husband, your buddies, whoever, and try to figure out if the person's lying, tell them the truth. If you have doubt, you go to different places. Then you have that Grand Theft Auto style stuff where obviously I just wanted to create as much damage in the city as possible. But it was really a different game that I thought would flop, and it turned out to be my favorite Rockstar game of all time.
Is there any hotter villainous in the DC universe than Poison Ivy, or not Poison Ivy, but Harlequin, when you brought up Arkham? I mean, really?
You guys just look at regular porn on the internet. You shouldn't be looking at cartoon porn. They should get a payoff, and it's free.
Well, if you were going to cast her in the dark...
Good. You guys are wasting time watching the bra and panties match for 12 or 13 minutes, which has no payoff, and then you can just... Oh, I can just go to like World Sex or this other site and just get a payoff in 2 minutes.
Well, if you're Chris Nolan and you have control over it, let's just say there's going to be another Batman film after The Dark Knight Rises, and somehow I know it's impossible to replace Heath Ledger, who did an amazing job replacing Jack Nicholson, but if they somehow say, okay, we're going to do another Dark Knight film and we're going to somehow work the Joker in. Who do you cast as Harley Quinn if you're in control?
That's tough. That's tough because I don't even know if I would cast Harley Quinn. I think they're going a little bit. Even I think Anne Hathaway being Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises is going a little too far. I think they just needed to keep the core people. And you know, I'm a little sad to see the franchise end just because you know with Bane being involved, if people follow the comic books. You know, obviously, he's probably going to break Batman's back in the end of the movie, and that's going to be the end of the trilogy, and then they're going to reboot it. But I don't know. I really like just having a very basic amount of characters that they have a lot of depth. Just like Batman Begins was, hey, he's telling the same story it's been told how many times, but it had so much depth and so much, character and feeling and atmosphere to it. I don't want it to turn into Batman. Which one was the one with the Riddler and Two-Face? Batman Forever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please never let Joel Schumacher touch another comic book franchise. He's just terrible.
He came out, I think it was on moviephone.com, did an interview with him. He was pimping something, and he claimed that he, after he did Batman Forever, he wanted to do the Batman Begins type film with Val Kilmer as Batman. And I'm just sitting there looking at my phone going, do I throw this against the wall now? No, I can't.
Wait a minute. Oh, so you want to have, it's like, it should be called Batman Eats Batman Begins, man, because he's about 300 pounds. They made it. Oh, my God. You're kidding me. It's funny, because after I had all the vocal cord surgeries and all that stuff, and even to today, you know, my co-host Colin, who I do the tech show with, always says I sound like Christian Bale on Batman. And, if, you know, that's when my voice really hurts, or I can actually do a good impression, which I won't do. You'll have to go to the pay site for that.
Okay.
Yeah, premium site, I'll do it for that.
Now, we have one more question, and I ask this of everybody. And so far, one of the best ones we've heard is from a fellow ECW alum in Steve Carino.
Okay.
Who is a show friend and tells a story of C.W. Anderson going into a bondage bar
it was somewhere in Japan.
In Japan, and the dominatrix who took C.W. Anderson on stage and began to whip him bore a striking resemblance to Samoa Joe in drag.
Mm-hmm.
So, of all of your locker room experiences, or out of locker room experiences, what is the best rib Steven Richards has ever seen?
We talked off air about this. First of all, ribs, if they're done like where nobody gets hurt, I suppose the dominatrix can be categorized as not getting hurt, quote. But, you know, as long as it's not mean-spirited or some of the shit that I've seen, excuse me, the stuff that I've seen throughout my career, that I've just said, that's just being mean and condescending, and nobody's laughing with you, you know? I would say probably the best rib I've ever seen is the one we discussed off air, where Al Snow displayed Val Venus's real cell phone number when he was looking for Pepper with the McBoss band from Matt the Dog. That was probably the best thing. And Al tells it a lot better. Al's a much better storyteller than I could ever hope to be. I will tell a side story. One of the things that I pitched to you in ECW, you guys live in Philadelphia, so I don't know if this place is still around, but you know, I had people I knew back in Philadelphia, and I wanted to do these pre-tapes with Mimi and Nova, where we go out on a night on the town in Center City, Philadelphia, in Gimmick, by the way. And, you know, I said, you know, we've been stressed out, we've been caned by the Sandman, and Raven lost the world title. We need to just get out and have a good time. We need a boys' night out. We need to go out and just pick up some girls and go to a local bar and everything. So what I heard was there was a couple gay bars in Philadelphia. I think one was called Woody's or something, right? So what we were going to do was take the ECW camera crew to a gay bar, but I didn't know it was a gay bar. Even though there's people in leather all around, all guys and everything, I wanted to go pick up some girls. So, and this never happened, by the way. Paulie even said, no, that's not going to happen. But but I wanted to go in the bar with Mimi and Nova in Gimmick, Dave Deuce and a half shirt, go up to the bar and just be like looking around and be like, and you know, walking up to guys and be like, hey man, when did the girls get here? And they just kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? You know, and like, man, and then the guy came up and goes, hey, how are you? And gave me a big hug. And I was like, wow, everybody's here is really friendly, Mimi. You know, if I go up to the bar, I don't know how it was going to end, but I had a thing where I go up to the bar and finally, you know, I was like, man, there's no girls here. Let's just start drinking or whatever. Roll up, slam my fist on the bar and say, give me the strongest thing you got. And this huge 375-pound black man who's wearing, you know, just chaps comes up to me, and that's the end of the pre-tape. There you go.
How did Paulie not go for that? I don't know.
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very surprised at this because I asked you off air about this. This is your first time on November the 5th being a part of an event at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and you're going to take on a former ECW alum as well in Kid Cash. What have you heard from people that you know throughout your career about this building, other than the mystique that it was the former asylum for TNA and that it was a part of the old Memphis loop that the Goulases and the Jarretts ran.
Well, I mean, I look forward to going down there. I like wrestling in the South just because the fans are, you know, sometimes a little bit more forgiving and like to have a good time, much more than the Northeast fans, which in Philly, they can be a little rough. You know, wrestling Cash is an honor. I've only wrestled the first time the BWO debuted in November, to remember, 1996, was against Kid Cash.
Oh, wow.
You'll have to look that up. Yeah. So the debut of the BWO was against Kid Cash in the ECW arena. And I remember he wanted to give me the Moneymaker, too. I didn't even know what the move was. I thought he was trying to give me a pedigree. And if you watch it, I didn't take it right. And he picked me up for the Moneymaker and dropped me right on, or I dropped myself right on my head because I didn't know how to take it. So if you go and watch it on YouTube, it's on there. And, you know, he's like Dave. Remember, he was Davey Morton, Tyler Jericho, or whatever back then. That's what Paulie was calling him. So it's going to be an honor to wrestle him. Kid Cash is somebody when he's in TNA I admired a lot, and he was one of the best talkers there. And, you know, he can go. So I've been training. I'm going to be in shape for it, even better shape than I usually am because, you know, and Kid Cash, he was in an MMA fight not too long ago, and he won.
Oh, wow.
That proves how smart I am stepping in the ring with an MMA guy, because I'm probably the least toughest guy in the world.
As mentioned, this event is November the 5th. You can go to crossfirellc.vze. There is a pre-show, a VIP event from 5:30 to 6:30. That's $15. You get a commemorative ticket. General admission is $10. No matter which one you buy, $2 of every ticket you're going to get is going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And you get the chance to meet Stevie Richards, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah. You know what the coolest part is? I don't know if meeting me is the coolest part, but it might be the seventh coolest part. But the coolest part is it's Make-A-Wish, and one of the best charities that I've ever been a part of. And, yeah, it really puts everything in perspective. We're blessed to be able to do what we're doing right now. I'm blessed to be able to go there and wrestle and walk upright and be healthy. And you know, even though I've pimped fate for 20 years, but these kids, all they want is just one last wish before, you know, it's sad to say before they die or before they go or before, you know, the illness that they have really takes control of them. And it's just, that really puts in perspective that, you know, life is just, you know, something that everybody should appreciate. And everybody should really come out, if they have for anything, to support Make-A-Wish. That's the most important part of the whole thing.
That is an actual fantastic... fantastic charity. I had the opportunity to donate to them a couple of times and absolutely would do it again. A buddy of mine actually works for one of their local branches here in Cleveland. So anytime I can, you know, be a volunteer for them, I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, and like you said, it's a great deal when you come out for that price and everything. So, and I'll work as hard as I can not to put on a terrible match. How's that?
If you like what you heard, don't do that. If you like what you heard here, you need to go to this following website. It is t4show.com. Or you can go to youtube.t4show.com, and you can see all the fun stuff that Stevie has been talking about. He's going to stay with us because we want to ask him something off air. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything from Bound for Glory. And maybe or maybe not, we'll talk about what happened tonight at TV. All I Want of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for pink hands.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge pink hands, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, okay. You also ducked the frequency that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You go Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye bye.
Right through the eyes of the soul. Your hands like a thing to fight. My illusion burns my soul. Your words like a thing to fight.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thanks to Big Stevie Cool, Stevie Richards, Steven Richards, so Dr. Stevie. I mean, he's had a lot of personalities over the years, and that was
Baron
really...
Von Stevie!
I only know that from the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD, because he talked about it, how Raven had him at one point doing the Fabulous Ones, and I'm just like, that's amazing. I was stunned when he said it off the air that he had never worked Nashville all the years of his career, and he said, oh, I have a couple Phantom title changes from that town. I was like, I think everybody does, brother. As we said, go to t4show.com, check that stuff out. We'll mention it in our press release that'll be sent out with this, wonderful event that's here each and every Tuesday night, 9 to 11 Eastern. We may run a little long some nights, but hey, it's fun, it's entertaining. And if you thought Bound for Glory was a crazy pay-per-view, wait till you hear what happened on TV tonight. But before we do that, let me very quickly, if you are in a hole and missed the event, one championship changed hands at Bound for Glory, and that is Velvet Sky is your new Knockouts champion, defeating winner Mickie James Madison Rayne after Karen Jarrett got the Great Muta treatment from Winter, which a lot of us were cheering for. Wish it could have been tobacco juice, but I digress. It was, as I said, I subbed in on Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday because Spug wasn't there, Tim wasn't there, Mace is on hiatus. So
I will make this point clear. I did not show up to last night's show for the simple fact of after the ending of the AJ Styles Christopher Daniels match, I was so pissed off at the product that I had been watching for the past 2 hours that I literally shut my TV off. Shut my computer off and went upstairs and finished watching that shellacking that was the Minnesota Vikings getting their ass handed to them by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for fans that objected to me watching the New York Jets game last night instead of watching Monday Night Raw and doing the social networking thing. Sorry, but hey, Jets won. Yay me.
Off of this horrible football team.
this event was Gimmick Mania, as I called it on Sunday night show. You had a Full Metal Mayhem match, Falls Count Anywhere match, you had the I Quit match, you had a brawl, if you want to call it that, with Hulk Hogan and Sting. Your World Tag Team Championship was not even on the pay-per-view. It was on Facebook, like the UFC cats do sometimes.
Okay. Is it just me? Or when you look at that pay-per-view from Sunday night, Did creative go into that and go, everybody has to bleed at some point?
They're in Philadelphia, brother. It's the city of hardcore.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, come off that, will you? And I don't mean you personally. I just, like,
I don't.
Like, yeah, you had ECW, but guess what? ECW was more than hardcore. It was some of the best wrestling I've ever seen.
Don't tell that to Russo.
Because
he probably never saw all that stuff. Well, actually, Bruce Pritchard's involved now, and congrats to David Lagana, who's going to be involved in some form or fashion with creative. His press release came out saying that he was going to be involved in, I think it's setting up shows outside of Impact. So,
yeah,
a little vague
how
there.
About, all right, I love Dave Lagana. He was great when he was on here, especially with the, you know, we got ice cream trending on Twitter.
Damn right.
You know, I will say this. How about you worry about making Impact successful before you worry about any other shows outside of Impact?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, the 800,000-pound gorilla in the room was the semi-main and the main on this show. As you had said, you left after AJ Styles made Christopher Daniels say, I quit just from brandishing a screwdriver, let alone actually using the thing. So you unfortunately missed the return for, I don't know how many times, of Hulkamania, brother. It's
I knew that
back.
That was gonna- Dude, I knew that was going to happen back in August, and you know
we all did, because Hogan did press for his video game and talked all about it.
I didn't care then, and I don't care now. I don't. You know, this whole, if I lose, I'm leaving TNA. Well, guess what? You don't get to swerve us by having the heel persona leave TNA, and you're still there. Just saying. Over.
Exactly, and it's just, so he's getting beat down. Sting's getting beat down at the end of this match and screaming, Hulk, help me, and that's all of a sudden what makes you forget what you did for the last year and change as the number one heel in this company. All of a sudden you magically went, click, I'm a good guy again. I don't
Is it,
get it.
Sad? Is it sad? When the number one heel in your company is a guy who can't wrestle?
Pretty much.
And I don't mean that as an insult, like, no, Hogan can't wrestle, because we all know he can't. But, I mean, literally, physically cannot wrestle. Like, your number one heel is somebody who cannot physically wrestle because of medical problems.
Yep, Rock and Omega and I were counting the bumps. And when I had joked with them in our private chat. Okay.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Before you say how many actually happened, let me take a guess.
Go for it.
I'm going to take a guess at a grand total of 8 bumps.
You mean by Sting and Hogan, or just by Hogan by himself?
By Sting and Hogan.
Okay, Rock, I only know how many Hogan took. Can you remember? Type in there if you remember by chance how many the Stinger took. Because I know Hogan, yeah, he agrees, we only know Hogan, and it was 3 bumps, if I remember right, Rock? 3 bumps, 4 if you count him turning over for the sharpshooter, Scorpion Deathlock, which, as Omega had said, looked like to be the lightest one ever put on. And I will give Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, tons of credit that he got into that ring and performed the way he did. But he didn't need to do it, wrestling fans. Yes, I used that term again. So our show, we can use that phrase here. He didn't need to do it. And we joked around. I said, this and the main event, guys, on Sunday, I said, these two matches can make this pay-per-view, or this could bring this pay-per-view down to a crashing halt. And we even said, as soon as this all went down, I jokingly said, and I didn't say it to them, I said it to one of my other friends, I said, this is going down, Bobby Roode is not going to win the world title tonight. How the hell did I know that was coming? I had no clue. And it just drove me nuts, because if Angle is as hurt as he says he is, because he apparently missed media appearances in Philadelphia. I don't know if he was at Fan Interaction. I believe he was supposed to have been at a Walmart somewhere, and Sorokin may confirm this or not, because he may follow Angle on Twitter. I do not. And you saw, he physically came to the ring with his quad, his hamstring, everything wrapped. And you just see that the pace was really off. So if he is that injured, why not drop the belt to Bobby Roode instead of having him walk out that way? I mean, if you're going to have him set up something at Turning Point, which is the next pay-per-view, I think November 13th. Okay, cool. But when reports are coming out through other media sites, Spug, that Hogan stepped in and said, Bobby Roode ain't ready, brother.
Okay, first of all, I know who you dropped the title to tonight.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to mention it. We're going to say
spoiler-free. I think we should. No, I think we should. Because here's the... You want to talk about 800-pound gorillas in a room? You want to talk about 800-pound gorillas in a room? Here's the thing. You have this where you've set up these great vignettes and this great storyline that Bobby Roode wasn't ready, right? And he had to go through all of these people to get to Angle, right?
Yeah, he had to take... Well, the only immortal fortune person he didn't wrestle was Daniels. Daniels refused. But he wrestled everyone else in Fortune.
Right. So he had to get through everybody. So he gets to Angle. He gets to Angle. We get to Bound for Glory. And you have probably the biggest guffaw, faux pas, crap moment of the pay-per-view when the camera angle clearly catches Bobby Roode's arm under the rope, which is a pin break, Angle holding onto the middle rope, which gives him, the way he is holding onto it, gives him no leverage to hold down the pin, and the referee is clearly staring at both.
Oh, yeah.
And counts the three.
Oh, believe us, we were head scratching at soon as it ended. Omega and I were just and Rock were just typing back and forth to each other, going, "Did we really just see what we just saw?"
And then tonight at your TV taping tonight, I don't give a shit how injured Kurt Angle is. If he can go out Sunday night and wrestle that match, and yeah, at the end of the match, you did see the referee throwing up the X.
And he was helped to the back by some
right.
folks.
But he, you did see the referee throwing up the X. The thing though is you could drop the title. You can, he could drop the title and you can fix that. You can fix it. But instead you trot him out there again tonight and drop it. And you've made the last month to 2 months of your Bound for Glory series, your last pay-per-view, where Bobby Roode had, what, three matches in one night?
I think he had two.
Whatever.
But had to run a gauntlet again that night.
Right. So he went through all of that, went through all of Fortune/Immortal, then he's not ready? That's retarded. This is why I hate TNA.
Well, we'll have to tune in this Thursday night on Spike TV to see how things went down. We can also, since we're spoiler free, I can mention that, there may be, a few returns coming to certain divisions, be it X division, be it knockouts.
Don't care. You know what? Here's the thing. This is, and I'm going to do this on the air. This is why I disagree with our no spoiler policy. Because TNA obviously doesn't care enough about their product to keep their results secret, so why the fuck should we?
Because it gives me something to talk about next week.
Oh, we'll still talk about it. We do.
Yeah, I want to see the transfer, why it happened, how it happened, just for storyline purposes. I would rather do it that way. I understand where you're coming from, but it's just the decision that Rock and I kind of agree on. We want to see, we're going to watch Thursday night. Rock will tweet from the Wild Talk Radio account. I'll tweet from My Name is Wojcik and on Facebook as well.
I can tell you how and why it happened. It happened because the idiots booking TNA have no regard for any semblance of what is a wrestling storyline anymore. None.
Yeah, if you do want to see some cool storylines, don't forget Ring of Honor, which we're going to talk about in a few moments with Nigel McGuinness, is available on your Sinclair Media channel, or you can find it on ROHWrestling.com. Don't forget, you can still watch Lucha Libre USA on MTV2, and you can see a bald RJ Brewer.
He's funny looking bald.
It was interesting. And you also had the debut of, I don't know if they're calling him Gregory Helms, Shane Helms.
They're calling him Gregory Helms, I think.
Okay. Yeah. He's back. He's in there. When we talk to him, Jay Lethal mentioned he's going to be involved. And some others as well. Don't forget that Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. on MTV2. Coming up after this break, we are scheduled to be joined by former ROH World Champion and current TV commentator Nigel McGuinness. You're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio, Power of the Wild Talk Radio Network, also on UltimateSportsTalk.com and Justin TV. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut
up. Let's do this. Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't
Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everyone was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Hi, Rob. Your godfather tree. Where's whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was?
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry.
Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Yeah, this is the black machismo for all you guys who out there thinking, who could this possibly be? Yes, the one and only, yeah, Madness is on top, and this is the OWW. Yeah, one more time, yeah, OWW, one more time. I'll say it again. It's the OWW, and this is the home of the black machismo. Oh, yeah!
Welcome back to Online World Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our number is 267-297-1397, and you can Skype Sir Rockin' if you want to speak with the former ROH World Champion and the man that's been making the Sinclair Media TV way interesting, making Kevin Kelly look so good. Nigel McGuinness is here with us. Thanks for stopping by tonight.
Thank you, Al.
The obvious question comes up immediately. How you doing with this? Are you enjoying sitting at the commentary table?
I'm loving it, mate. I'm absolutely loving it. You know, Ring of Honor has always been my home, so to be able to go back there and be part of the company and in this sort of big stage for them, it's huge for me. And to work with Kevin and Jim and you know, Hunter as well, everybody else. It's just a great situation for me. I'm really enjoying it, yeah.
What's been the fan reaction when you're at events? Because I know you guys just did a TV tape a while ago. What's the fan reaction been to seeing you? Because you've been gone from Ring of Honor for a little while, and now you are back. Is it just a, oh, my God, he's really here? Or, you know, where have you been? Save us from some of the folks that have been ruling the ring here.
No, you know, when I first brought me back to do the commentary at Chicago, I was really overwhelmed by the reaction, you know. No one knew I was going to be there until the day, and even then, when I walked out, I think most of the fans didn't have an idea. So it was a huge reaction, and I was kind of taken aback when I actually got in the ring, and I had a very limited amount of time to say something, and it kind of caught me off guard, and it was wonderful to hear that, you know. I don't know what the reaction was, whether, like, you know, are you going to wrestle again, or you know, what are you here for, or whatever it was. It's nice to feel appreciated, you know. A lot of times you think to yourself, you know, you're gone for a year or 2 years, and everybody forgets, and, you know, no one knows who you are or what you did. So that was really nice, you know. And then when we did the tapings at the Davis Arena in Louisville, got a lovely reception there as well. So, yeah, really enjoyed it.
I want to take you back a little bit. Because I learned something interesting about Nigel over the weekend.
Uh-oh. Go on in, Spug.
Well, I'm training at a place out of Alliance, Ohio, called Main Event Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, familiar. That's Chester's place, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Love it.
And I learned over the weekend that Nigel used to be a big part of that roster for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was unaware of this. So I wanted to ask, is there anything that I should know about not pissing Shasta off that you could tell me?
Oh, no.
Shasta's a fantastic guy. He's always, you know, treated me well, never bullshitted me. In a business where there's a lot of bullshitters, he's always been straight up with honest. Always put on, you know, good shows, and I've always enjoyed being a part of them. You know, I just spoke to him recently. He's got a great crew of guys there, and you know, I love being a part of it. That's part of the business that when you move up to other places, you kind of miss the, you know, the grassroots where everybody really feels great passion for what they're doing. You know, and Shasta's certainly one of those guys who's devoted his life to this business, but. As you mentioned, he can have a temper if you piss him off, you know what I mean? You know, do him right and he'll do you right, but just don't take any liberties. It's like wrestling. Don't take any liberties with him.
Oh, I don't. I tell you what, I am quickly approaching my 30th birthday, and like I told you before we went on the air, for a long time I was pretty stupid, and I decided as a gift to myself that I was going to do the right thing and finally go through training and be respectful like I should have been, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And it is whooping my ass.
Yeah, 30 years old, it's that's a tough pill to swallow to start out in the wrestling business. I started when I was 23. And, yeah, once you start getting awards 30, then you feel every one of those bumps, but good on you for doing that, you know. A lot of times, I think a lot of people in the business do get kind of irritated and irate at people expressing an interest, or not an interest, you know, they're almost as though they know more about the business than people have actually taken the bumps and have, you know, traveled the roads trying to make it. So good for you for doing it.
If you can take fans back a moment or two, you're born, raised London. That fans that may not know the history of Nigel McGuinness, what led you to even step forth and say, you know what, England's really cool, but America seems to be the place to go?
I just think it was a combination of things, really. When I was coming of age and deciding what I was going to do with my life, wrestling in England was kind of in a lull. It was kind of in a lull towards everywhere. You know, we were talking sort of 94, 95 when I was at that sort of stage deciding what I was going to do with my life. And there really weren't any shows in England that sort of time. And there weren't anywhere, any schools to learn over there. And I always knew if I wanted to be an American wrestler, I had to do it in America. So, even in America, there wasn't a whole lot going on at that time. It was another couple of years before wrestling really, you know, picked up again. But there were a few places I wrote off to when I was at school over here. And, you know, Les Thatcher at HWA was the only place actually that sent me a handwritten reply. And I was so sort of bowled over by going down because when I went down there, he had pictures of Sonny on his wall. And when I was a kid, you know, I mean, when I was going through puberty, there was no one else on this earth like Sonny. For me, she just, you know, I mean, and the fact that he knew her and had lunch with her, I was sold on that place from day one anyway, but that just was the icing on the cake for me.
During your tenure in Ring of Honor, we asked Jay Lethal about this when he was here. There was the Pure Championship that fans may remember, may not remember.
May not remember? What are you talking about, may not remember?
Well, there may be some ROH fans that only know ROH from last year or two is what I'm saying, but do you think that championship would work in the current model of ROH that Jim Cornette and De La Ghana and everyone has set up?
Absolutely, very much so. Arguably even more so, you know. I mean, it was great back then, I think, that, you know, once I started getting a bit of a run with the belt and had it for a certain amount of time, and I really tried to push the envelope with what you could do with those rules and stuff, it stood out well, I thought, you know, as a great adjunct to the product as a whole, because the product was so, you know, it was so athletic orientated and was so far away from the sports entertainment that you saw on TV. But what I was doing, it was kind of different enough that it really made it different and stand out, but yet didn't take away from the main event, you know, title picture at the time. So I think it could definitely work there. Anything that's different, anything that adds a little, you know, a different sort of angle on the show, you just need a bit of variety on the show. You need a little bit of this and a little bit of that so that people don't get bored of seeing the same thing. I think that's a danger with any kind of wrestling show, be it at any level. You know, you have to vary the matches, you have to vary the characters, you have to vary everything so that people haven't seen the same thing twice in a show.
You've worked with some fantastic individuals throughout your career. CM Punk, El Generico,
Homicide,
Samoa Joe, you know, Kurt Angle, just to name a few. As you're in the ring with those guys, you know, we all know the give and take and the general goal of trying to get the match over, but who was the easiest one to work with out of all the individuals that you've been in the ring with?
Man, there's just so many. Easiest is kind of an awkward adjective, I think.
Who did you have the best chemistry with in the ring, where things just seemed to flow, where you didn't have to work as hard?
Obviously, I think Dragon's probably going to be that guy for almost everyone, which is obviously, you know, speaks so well of what a great talent he was and still is. I think Dragon always brought the best out of everybody. And certainly for me, you know, a lot of times we just, and people talk about going in the right direction or knowing what someone else is going to do before they do it. It's almost cliched, I think, within the business, but I think largely with him, there was just, I don't know, there was just something that I always felt, even before we ever wrestled, there was a weird sort of eerie sense to sometimes when I first got in Ring of Honor and I'd see him sitting around and I'd watch him in the matches, and for some reason there was just something about him, and I think that when people watch his matches, that's why they feel the same way and feel that, you know, he's so talented, because you just, there's something enigmatic about him, and I always felt some kind of weird destiny that in actual fact panned out in our matches. So I certainly think I had great chemistry with Dragon. But there were a lot of guys, you know, a lot of the guys that you mentioned that had good chemistry with too. Silent.
Yeah. Is there anyone over here? I mean, because Spug just mentioned it, and if you go to your profile on onlineworldofwrestling.com, there's basically a who's who of you who you've been in the ring with over your career. Is there anyone that you look at and sit there and go, ah, crap, you know, if I've been in this place at this time and they were working, is there any two or three that come to mind that you go, I wish I had wrestled so-and-so at least once?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. I mean, certainly when you start out in this business, you've got people, well, before you're even in the business, you have people you idolize, you know, people that you watch, obviously. When I was a fan, I was a big fan of, obviously, your Ultimate Warriors, your Hulk Hogan's, your Ted DiBiase's, your Bret Hart's, I mean, and they're dream opponents. And once you get in the business and you sort of start to understand the, you know, the intricacies and just how much of an art form professional wrestling really is, then you get a newfound respect for a lot of wrestlers. Finley is obviously someone that, well, back when I was watching wrestling back in England, he was always someone that, even when I was a fan, I was in awe of. For anybody that hasn't seen a lot of that sort of style, the British style, see what you can find on YouTube. Finley, Marty Jones, a lot of those guys from that era, they just presented such an inspiring, awesome sort of, you know, art form that you really don't get a chance to see nowadays. And obviously William Regal, a fantastic proponent of it. So, you know, guys like Regal and guys like Finley, it really did kill me that I, you know, never got an opportunity to wrestle them, because it just would have meant so much to me. but there were other guys, you know, guys of my generation that, you know, were big stars, the Randy Ortons, the John Cenas, people like that, that I felt I could have, you know, done some good business with, for sure.
Now, I have to ask, because our listeners want to know, what is the real story of the Iron? And do you take it to commentary with you?
Oh, he's right. Now, the Iron has been null and void, in non-existence for Lord only knows, 4 or 5 years actually now. The last time I had it was in Italy, and I broke it over a guy's head. And that was it. I haven't seen it since. It was one of those things like the blonde spikes. Eventually in time, I kind of grew out with and evolved from. I still to this day don't know why. Well, I know why I started bringing it out, but you know, why I thought it would really add anything to me. I always remember when I was wrestling down there in OVW for a couple of shots, and Paul Heyman was part of the outfit at the time. And that was the one thing that he always sort of, you know, I think, stood out about me. Is like, why on earth does he carry that iron to the ring? And probably not in a good way either, you know what I mean? That's it. That's part of wrestling, is learning what works and trying new things and evolving from them, you know, into a better, you know, more streamlined, more entertaining character in the ring.
And you brought up British wrestlers a few minutes ago when you brought up Fit Finlay, and a name that came to mind the moment you said that, you know, the British style, two names that came to mind were William Regal and Adrian Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think that they don't give it as much credit as they should? Because if you look at their, you know, Adrian Street and William Regal, their matches are fantastic, and the gimmicks fit them perfectly.
Right. I mean, like I said, the style back then was very different than what professional wrestling is today, or sports entertainment is today, certainly, you know. But a lot of what worked for them, people have taken on now, you know. I mean, it's very difficult to find a character from today's business that isn't at least in some ways influenced by people like that, you know. Whether they get credit enough for that or not is again debatable, because there are obviously nowadays the business has changed so much. There are a lot of people that never knew a business existed before 10 years ago, and I think that's a great shame, for sure.
I think you can find a direct correlation between Adrian Street and Goldust.
Not very much so, of course. Yeah, very much so. And Adrian was a great worker in and of himself as well, beyond just his gimmick, yeah.
He actually made my gear.
I think there's a lot of people that can say that, and that we've had on this show, like, major stuff, Adrian Street, really cool. The biggest email question that we got at RadioAndOnlineWillOfWrestling.com is, Now that you're back in Ring of Honor, are you just going to sit at the commentary table, or can we possibly be looking for Nigel to go, yeah, Davey Richards, hi, former ROH World Champ, I'd like my belt back?
It's a tough question in some ways. In other ways, it's not so tough. I certainly see myself transitioning to the full-time commentary booth. The thing you've got to remember about Ring of Honor is that it's a company of young, hungry guys who are putting on the absolute state-of-the-art professional wrestling. You know, it's not a sports entertainment, it's an entertaining sport, as Jim Cornette is, you know, fond of saying. And that's absolutely true. And it's a young man's business, without a doubt, you know. Me at 35, you know, watching the TV show and seeing just the level of talent in Ring of Honor and remembering just how difficult it was to be on the show, let alone be with the champion there, it's difficult for me to really consider coming back. I'm certainly not going to rule it out. I'd like to not have a swan song, but have, you know, be able to say goodbye to fans in the right way. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, dusting off the boots and lacing them up one more time, just for old time's sake, just to be able to thank the fans for you know, for not forgetting me, and just sharing something special with them, and something I'm looking into, certainly, you know, as we speak. And if you follow me on Twitter, then you can, you know, keep abreast of that situation. It's ongoing. My Twitter name is @McGinnisNigel for anybody that doesn't follow me already.
Yep. And one new follower for Nigel McGinnis already.
Yep.
Over the shame these, on over you the, following me before.
Yeah, indeed, shame on me.
Yep. On these episodes that have been shown on Sinclair Media, you at a commentary seat have seen some awesome stuff. This past week, the Briscoe brothers and the All That Express had one. Two former guests of ours, Eddie Edwards was involved, one with Michael Elgin, and then Roderick Strong, the former champion, against Davey Richards. Are you just sitting there at one point going, yeah, this seat's really comfortable, Kevin, I'm not going anywhere? Or does that get your juices flowing when you're sitting there watching these guys? Are you sitting there going, hey, what's that itch?
No, yeah, I've got, you know, I need penicillin. But no, the truth is, yeah, you can even pick it up in some commentary. Like, there comes a point where I just sit back. I think it was when Davey wrestled Roddy in one of the matches in the earlier TVs. I just sit back, and I was in awe. Because for me, having wrestled there, you never really get that perspective of sitting ringside. And obviously, I'm in the best seat in the house, sitting there in the commentary table, and to be so close to the action and see and feel, you know, just how real, you know, the strikes, the exchanges, the bumps, just how real they are. I really, at one point, just stepped back and I said, just, you know, words can't do this justice, really. And I think that's, again, part of my decision to not try and go back to what I was doing before, is to understand that, man, these guys are just fantastic. And that just speaks so well of the product, you know, as a whole, in that we're presenting a product that you can't see elsewhere, you know, and that's all hopefully going to continue to be the case.
I have a question that I ask everybody who we interview on the show, because so
that's
I like...
where babies come from, is it, Spud?
No, it is. I happen to know because I have a six-year-old who just went to bed shortly, so...
My two-year-old, thank goodness, is finally asleep.
But I ask everybody this question. Some of the stories we've gotten involve a Japanese dominatrix who looked eerily like Samoa Joe in drag.
Kenny King and the stabbing and Brian Danielson and El Generico.
BG James pouring out half a bottle of Red Hot, pissing in it. So, what is the greatest rib that Nigel McGuinness has seen?
Yeah, I'm not a great one for remembering ribs. To be honest with you, boys, I'm not a great one at remembering anything at this point in my life. And if I do have a lot of good ribs, I think I'm going to save them for the memoir, you know.
But there will be a book. That's the best part.
Right. I'd hope somewhere down the line. Let me think. Ribs. I should always prepare for these sort of things in advance. There was one. Where was it? A lot of times ribs are, they fit into the had to be there category, you know. One that always springs to mind to me was when it was somewhere in New York and we got snowed in and we were all held up in this hotel in New Jersey in about 6 feet of snow. And there was about six of us. There was me, Dragon, Jimmy Rave was there, Cabana was there, a few other people. I can't remember who exactly. Anyway, so we had a wander down at McDonald's or wherever it was to eat, and everyone's throwing snowballs and stuff like that. And somehow me and Dragon ended up in sort of like a grappling contest in the snow. And I'd love to be able to say, I helped my own, but he owned me. Absolutely owned me. Anyway, so we got back to the hotel, and we're all, you know, being delayed. Our flights were all getting cancelled, and he's living on the West Coast at the time, so he's having even more of a difficult time, and he's on some weird airline or whatever else. So he's been calling, trying to get a new flight, all this sort of stuff, and so he's on the hotel phone with one person at the airline. He's on his cell phone with another person on the phone line. And so we're all in the other room, and I don't know if it was Cabana or who it was, but I convinced someone to tell Dragon that, like, they'd got through to somebody else who could answer his question, because he was on hold with these other people, you know what I mean? So I think it was Cabana, it might have been Kenny King, I don't even remember who it was, but whoever it was dialed the hotel, and we had Dragon come out from the other room and get on this phone. And we could obviously hear what the other guy was talking about. And so he was like, you know, we were telling him just stupid shit, like, okay, if you can get to Philadelphia in an hour, you can be on the next flight. And obviously, you know, Philadelphia is like 2.5 hours. So he's getting more and more mad about this the whole fucking time. And we're just coming up with these most ridiculous scenarios, you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely impossible stuff. And he's getting madder and madder and madder. Until we finally sort of cracked up and he figured out what the deal was. Luckily, the other phone line that he'd been on before for like 2 or 3 hours on hold didn't hang up. Otherwise, he probably would have kicked our asses for real, you know. But that was always good. And I love ribs that aren't too serious, you know what I mean? When people don't get hurt or really messed up, it's just a good laugh. And, you know, everyone kind of has a giggle about it afterwards, even Dragon did, you know.
If you don't have Sinclair Media in your market where you're listening to us right now, you can go to ROHWrestling.com. On the main page, it'll give you information on how you can watch the show that we're talking about with Nigel. The next live events are November 5th at the Davis Arena in Louisville. On November the 6th, it's Collinsville. And then the next two big ones, Survival of the Fittest 2011 is in Dayton, Ohio, November the 18th. And Glory by Honor 10 is in Chicago Ridge on November 19th. As Nigel said, you can follow him on Twitter at McGinnisNigel. Thank you so much for being here with us, and we can't wait to see what's coming up next on ROH TV, considering you had a little altercation with the House of Truth.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I forget where I am, you know, and I remember, like you said, sometimes I've got to see what's going on. My blood boils a little bit, but they told me that, you know, I'm being hired as a commentator, and that's what my position is, so I need to stay there. And so I have to respect that, you know what I mean, as much as truth sometimes annoys me. What can you do?
Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything from WWE's South of the Border visit on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. They gathered up to see what the union had to say. It's too much work and not enough pay. Stay! We'll roll on with our heads out high. Our conscience in the gutter, our dreams up in the sky.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for internet ass offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Bart Berry. Hannah Christel.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Are you going to say something about Wild Talk Radio or what?
I sure am. Every time we get a chance, we check this out. WildTalkRadio.com. You should too if you want to be on the inside.
This is Axe, and I'm Smash. Then you better listen to Wild Talk Radio, or we're going to kick your stinking teeth in.
Thanks to Nigel McGuinness for being here on All I Want of Wrestling Radio. Welcome back from the break. Hey, this happens every Tuesday night. Tell your friends, tweet it, Facebook it, LinkedIn. Well, I don't even know what the heck's out there anymore. Isn't Google Plus out there too? Maybe we'll go that route at some point or another. Yes, that really was the team that should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Demolition. Talking us up there, talking us our home network, Wild Talk Radio, which you can hear us on each and every week. Go to wildtalkradio.com. You can see a video of that particular encounter with Axe and Smash. And even later on in their career that they are right now, I wouldn't want to screw with those guys whatsoever. Shockage, the OWW Genesis Guru, which is the official message board of both this program and Wild Talk Radio, brought up something interesting in our chat, said, I think Nigel could pass Lord Alfred Hayes as the greatest British announcer. He's very modest. That's a tricky one, because I'm a big fan of Lord Alfred. And that's always fun to get the WWE DVDs, and then all of a sudden you go, hey, look, it's Lord Alfred and Gorilla Monsoon doing some commentary. Yes. Before we get into everything that happened in Mexico City that appeared on TV last night and will appear on Friday, I believe it's next Tuesday it comes out. finally, you can go to MiamiHerald.com through our page at Online World of Wrestling Radio to see our contributor Scott Fishman interview WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart. You can get a copy of WWE's Greatest Rivalries, Bret versus Shawn, through some avenues. I was able to partake the documentary part. I haven't seen any of the other stuff. And let me tell you, it's everything that the hype is out there on. It's a good solid 215 maybe. I really wasn't keeping track of it. But for you're kind of sitting there going, okay, is this going to turn into a shoot? Are they going to brawl? I mean, it's very thought-provoking. It makes you look back on the stuff that went on over their careers and go, wow, I get it. So definitely go to MiamiHerald.com, check out Scott Fishman's thing. Scott will probably be with us in the coming weeks, and definitely around when WrestleMania gets to Miami, we'll have him, we'll have Jim Barcelone back on. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun there. Lots of stuff going on. This past SmackDown from this Friday saw what, I'm not sure if this is the biggest battle royal. I know it's the biggest battle royal that WWE has done. You know, WCW did those World War III things where I think they had 60 people in a three-ring configuration. And I'm just going, good Lord, are you crazy? And shock of shocks, Randy Orton wins and gets to face Mark Henry one more time. Christian's probably sitting somewhere going, hey, wait a minute. He's stealing my gimmick. So yeah, Randy Orton survives. Alberto Del Rio survived that night, defeating Sheamus. Saw a modified tag team of Kofi Kingston and Zack Ryder take on Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. And the damn Sin Cara storyline keeps on a-going. If you've seen the spoilers from the event that was taped in Mexico, both Raw and SmackDown were taped in Mexico. I'm not sure why, but they were. You're going to see this Friday night, Sin Cara take on Sin Cara in a mask versus mask match.
Question for you, sir.
Okay.
Because you just brought up Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an officially announced match for Vengeance at the end of the month, or this week.
This Sunday.
This Sunday in Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. Now, The Intercontinental title is on the line, correct?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't think they made a clarification last night. I don't know if Sorokin can pull up the WWE site real quick, because all I know is that's the match. I don't know if it's a non-title deal or not.
Because if the title is on the line, if it's Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes for the Intercontinental title, my question is this a nod to Randy Orton for being a workhorse? Because remember the belt Cody brought back last pay-per-view and the speech that he gave. So is this a nod to Randy Orton for being a workhorse for that company and all the effort that he's put in? I mean, I just watched last week, we had a rain day. So I grabbed a copy of the Randy Orton DVD off of Netflix.
Oh yeah. Evolution of a Predator. Another excellent production.
And watched it. And I mean, it's a 2 hour long doc. Like the doc itself is almost 2 hours. And I tell you what, I have a much greater respect for Randy Orton now than I did, you know, even a month ago.
Yep, Sir Rockin is saying that he believes the championship is not on the line, but that may change from the spoilers that are coming out about what went on in Mexico. The biggest shock out of Raw from Mexico City last night was, and I made Rock laugh at this when I watched the tape today, I said I was so ticked at about Abreu del Rio being involved in this whole deal with Cole and Ross and Cena, and it's like, why? I says, well, when Ricardo came out and did his thing, I was going, okay, we're in Mexico. I said, uh-huh. I said, he speaks the Spanish. I said, uh-huh. I said, wouldn't it be the ultimate heel move for Ricardo to do his ring announcing in English?
English.
And he didn't do it. And I said, son of damn, I was hoping that would have happened. Because I'm like, now I can finally understand what the hell he's saying. Other than he calls him El Patron. And you know, I knew when he did a thing and when they were in San Jose, he mocked the San Jose Sharks hockey franchise. And I was like, son of a bitch, he didn't do it.
What are you going to mock it in Mexico?
I don't know, but just him doing it in the English language, being that this was Alberto de Rio's homecoming and the unveiling. I'm guessing it's going to, I don't know if it's going to air on Friday night or not, but apparently ADR's uncle, the legend of Mil Máscaras, is the first inductee into the 2012 WWE Hall of Fame. Now,
that
there are people
reported.
Yeah, now there are people that would say Mil Máscaras is already in a Hall of Fame in his own mind if you read stories about his legendary career. Yes, I just took a shot at him, and I apologize. No, I don't, because that's what I've heard through the grapevine over the years about that gentleman.
That he's very arrogant?
Oh, arrogance isn't even close. Bartel is standing there going, buddy, you don't need this cologne. You've got enough oozing off you as it is. Second Monday Night Raw that we've had a full Johnny Laryngitis in charge thing. Are you digging him so far in this role, or are you sitting there going, dear God, when's Mick Foley going to get here?
Well, looking at the Twitters, Mick Foley put out one that was interesting the other day that said my 2012 indie bookings are going to be very, very limited.
Ooh.
And we all know that he signed that Legends deal with WWE. Like, it's no secret. But he did that. Right. He did that around August, September.
I believe that's when it went down.
So, and I'm looking for him to show up somewhere around Survivor Series. But
that'd be interesting.
My thing is, well, because I think that's when it's going to end. I think that's when this whole angle is going to end, because you're going to have Team Triple H versus Team Johnny Ace. And I didn't watch all of Raw. I watched it in bits and pieces last night because I was trying to watch the foosball game.
Yeah, JTS, brother. Back to 500, finally.
But the one thing I will say, that one of my favorite moments last night was R-Truth and Miz standing there staring at CM Punk like a bunch of rabid dogs, and then all of a sudden you heard Triple H's music, and CM Punk just got this grin on his face. And Miz and Truth sold it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. They're really, I've been a fan of Mizanin for that point. He really gets over, and I believe this is a set match for the pay-per-view, and that it's going to be CM Punk and Triple H taking on Miz and Truth, and
yeah.
I'm interested to see how much of that match Punk carries. Does he play the Ricky Morton to Triple H's Robert Gibson in this match? Because this will be his, what, third in-ring action or second in-ring action since Mania. And I'm sure he's up in Stanford and he's working the stuff out. And, you know, God bless him for getting out there and being involved. Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's probably got Steph out there bumping around going, come on, Steph, we're going to brawl. Get the kids involved, too. Where's Shane? Oh, Shane's not here. Believe it or not, I'm most likely I get to talk about this on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio with Jackie Feist and Teddy Prentice, and I believe Brian Shields is going to be with us as well. That'll air Thursday on, the history of WWE.com, Graham Cawthon's site. But I'm more interested, there's some great matches on this show. But nothing beats the Long Island IZ getting a U.S. heavyweight championship match against Dolph Ziggler. I believe it's been announced that he is going to get a shot at him. They teased it. It was released. Yeah, it's a spoiler. Deal with it. I know it because it's out there. It's in the web. This one I don't mind because WWE put it all over the damn place that you were going to see Michael Cole and Jim Ross all over the place. TNA's not putting out there. Tune into our show Thursday. This is going to happen. WWE did it. They practically jumped up and down and said, Michael Cole, Jim Ross, Raw, yay! Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. But the problem is, the way you book this show going into this, it almost seemed like you were going to get another Air Boom versus Ziggler and Swagger match. So it may be, you know, they may have not. They may change their mind. Don't know. Are we really looking forward to the Big Show versus Mark Henry? Or is this Brontosaurus versus Stegosaurus or T-Rex? Is this going to be, you know, this obviously isn't going to be Brian Pillman versus Jushin Liger, but is this going to be like Ultimate Warrior Hercules from back in the day?
I think it should be okay. I think it'll be a decent match.
Coming out of last night in Mexico City, we now have Alberto Del Rio defending against John Cena again. And last man standing. Somebody was right. He wrestles in Hell in the Cell, and the solve all is last man standing. And this is how Batista left the company, kids. You know, Marky Mark's really good at this match. I don't know if Del Rio's car is going to get involved like it was when Batista left the company, but I totally see Ricardo getting involved. I totally see anyone that dislikes Cena getting involved. But does ADR make it out of here with the belt?
I don't think so.
Damn.
I don't think so.
So that means going into Survivor Series November 20th, which our colleague Phil Strum is attending. He got tickets. I'm jealous. He's going to Madison Square Garden, son of a bitch. I love Phil. I'm kidding around about it. So that means when we see Team Rock or Team Cena Rock or Rock Cena, the champ is going to be there.
Right.
Damn. Sorry. Frustrated fan of going like, okay, seriously, you don't need to catch Triple H or Ric Flair in the record books for having the world title so many times, dude. Also on this event, we're going to get Beth Phoenix defending against Eve Torres. Sheamus and Christian are going to hook it up. I'm intrigued by some of these matches, considering this pay-per-view seemed to be basically patched together over the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But is this pay-per-view more or less just a set? I know everything is a setup to a setup to something else. But is this WWE just going, ah, crap, we booked so many events, and oh yeah, we still got to get to Survivor Series on November 20th. Is this just, you know, a Clash of Champions type event, so to speak, in your mind? Or is this a legit good pay-per-view? People need to chunk down the change to see this.
This pay-per-view?
Yeah.
This is shaping up like a Clash, to be honest with you.
I hope it's more than that, and I'm interested to see that. I don't know what I'm going to get here with Big Show and Mark Henry.
Right.
Like I said, I know it's not going to be Liger Pillman. I know this isn't going to be Tiger Mask Dynamite Kid. And if you don't know these matches I'm talking about, get your ass to YouTube or get it to Click Wrestle, the official download site of All Night World of Wrestling Radio. Yes, G-Plug, I shoot and score. You know, check that stuff out. But this just, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, this make some people cringe, but, you know, show's back. How soon do we see Kane? Does Kane make a reappearance here tonight? That night?
Kane?
yeah, help Big Show, help him screw Mark Henry. Big Show walks out world champ.
Possibly.
Why not? Bring it on. We are in San Antonio for this event, kids, and that could make you think. You know, gotta sell some DVDs. Maybe an HPK sighting? Would that annoy you, or would that make you go, yeah, cool. CM Punk helped at the DX. I can feel the mace meh coming out of your system.
I here's the deal. Like, I'm all for the CM Punk Triple H match against you know, Awesomely Truthful. But I don't want this match to take away from the overall storyline going on. And I think that I think it's going to end up doing that.
Now, hopefully by this point, Triple H will have made it through immigration, which was so stupid last night. I'm just sitting there typing a rock going, okay, wait a minute, immigration shows up. He's not immigrating to the damn country. I was expecting Border Patrol may have been a little more humorous. Could have had Cole Cabana get his WWE gig, bring his Juggalo Championship guy in there. Could have brought Brody Lee Parker in for a cameo, why not? I'm throwing so many references out there to fans are going, who? What? Huh? Yes, I show my age by knowing who the ex-Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker is. But yeah, Sunday, 8 o'clock Eastern. Don't forget, at 11 o'clock Eastern, you can tune to this very radio network, and you might hear Spug. Are you free this Sunday, or do you have something with Shasta going on?
Oh, there's training going on, but it's, you know, 10 to 1.
Gotcha. Omega will definitely be here, the end-all be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sorokin may or may not have to sit in if Tim Stein is not available. Hopefully he
I'll
is.
I'll be here this week. I'm pretty sure the pay-per-view won't piss me off that bad.
No screwdrivers involved, hopefully, in this one, kids. It's last man standing. Who knows?
Well, here's what aggravated me the most about that pay-per-view, is that when you watch... Now, I will give credit to Kennedy and Bubba, because Kennedy totally whiffed that table on that moonsault off the top rope to the outside. Totally missed the table. Bubba rolls off and he gets the mic check through it. Good way to cover up a botch, right?
Sure.
Okay. Then you get to Daniels and Styles. Styles gets the ass beating of a lifetime for 10 solid minutes. He gets to his comeback and no sells any of that beating.
Including getting choked out for several minutes.
Right. And all I need to do is point at CM Punk and Randy Orton for Mania of this year. And Randy Orton had Punk set up in the corner for the head punt, right?
Sure.
He gets halfway across the ring, and what does he do? Collapses. Why? Because Punk had been working the shit out of that knee for the majority of the match.
Storytelling at its greatest.
Exactly. If you listen to that crowd during that match, one, they were dead for the entire match. Two, that match told no story whatsoever. It was pretty much a squash for the majority of it until the comeback, and then it turned into a flip-flop squash where AJ Styles started squashing Daniels, and then he just pulls out a screwdriver and Daniels quits. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, but did you cringe since you're in training? As we wrap up here, I want to ask this one because I didn't get to ask it Sunday. I asked Omega and Rock about it. The angel's wings on the that platform. Were you sitting there as someone who's training in the ring, going, "Ow"? Or he's sitting there going, damn, he protected him really well.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Because Sunday sucked for me. Sunday sucked. I told Madison, because her sixth birthday was last Thursday, right?
Oh, happy birthday, young Madison.
And I told her for her birthday, I promised her she could come down to me, come down to training with me on Sunday. So we get down there, and usually I know the process of training. It's we get there, we bullshit for a few minutes, we get in the ring, we stretch out, we do our neck rolls, we do leg ups, which suck donkey dick. We do our Hindu squats, then we go run. Well, Shasta fucked us all up by making us run first.
Ooh.
Which wasn't bad, because we got, you know, we got all loose and limber. And then we did our stretching, then we did our neck rolls, then we did leg ups, and then he says, well, we're going to do something a little different this time. I'm like, all right. And he usually does this like once or twice a month, where he'll do one last set of leg ups, but you don't put him down. He won't say relax. You just pick him up and he'll keep saying out, in, out, in. And when you drop, you can drop whenever you want, but when you drop, you got to get out of the ring and start running around the inside of the building. And I was actually happy with myself because I made it to the final three this time. And we start running, then we go do our Hindu squats, and he says, all right, we're not doing any spot drills today, because we only had like nine people with us at training. We did drop down drills.
Oh God.
On Sunday. And for a fat guy like me, he's like, we're putting in the cardio work today. Dude, it sucked. I hurled twice. And got yelled at a couple of times, because like after I'd hurl, I'd grab my Gatorade, take a drink, and wash that taste out of my mouth. He's like, no one else is getting a break. I'm like, like, I don't want to break. I just don't want to taste throw up in my mouth.
What a great way to end this show, isn't it, kids?
Well, the best part about training, though, was at the end, was we got birthday chops.
Ooh, I've seen those at wrestling events, and God, they're evil.
Oh, well, he said it best. He goes, this is really the only fraternal thing that we do. And he says, everybody goes through it, whether you're out of training or not. He says, if you get out of training a day before your birthday, guess what? You come back for the next week and get your birthday chops. He says, everybody goes through it. Oof. So I'm really not looking forward to mine in April. I'm not.
Oh, some of the Florida guys just are evil with that stuff.
We have guys. The thing with birthday chops is we have guys like actual wrestlers who will come in for training that day just to give birthday chops. If that's not the definition of evil, I don't know what is.
As we wrap up here tonight, if you stop by because Stevie Richards was here or Nigel McGuinness was here, thanks for doing it. We really appreciate new listeners. If you're one of our regulars, thanks for being here again. We keep kicking ass and taking names each and every week here on Wild Talk Radio Network. As I like to say, I am just one little cog in the amazing machinery that is the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we talked about it with Stevie Richards, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern on this very network. Spug and Omega host Utaku Talk Live. If fans have no idea, give them a rundown on what could possibly be heard.
I have no idea.
Other than Kaiju Big Battle last week.
We did have Kaiju. That was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, so go to the archives.
I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah. Is there UFC this Saturday or is it next Saturday?
Next Saturday.
So it is the 29th that's the UFC event. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And George R. St. Pierre is out. He got hurt.
Ooh. That totally sucks. I get to read this. This is awesome. Everything from unnecessary sequels to mothers and daughters robbing a bank together to how a 50-foot bridge was stolen in Florida's serial pooper. All this and more as the countdown to, I can't believe this, 200th episode of CB Radio continues on this Saturday. That is Sir Rockin', the godfather of extreme Rob Parks and Subway's event. As mentioned, this Sunday, WrestleTalk Radio, 11 p.m., you get to experience the aftermath of the WWE Vengeance pay-per-view. And we get to do it again next Tuesday night. Crossfire Entertainment again, thanks to Marcus Destroyer, Akeesha Oliver Berdine for setting this one up. If you thought Stevie Richards was awesome, if you thought Al Snow was awesome, if you thought Finley was awesome, I've interviewed him on two occasions, and each time I do it, I go, damn, I wish this interview was longer. The franchise Shane Douglas is here next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, right on the top of the hour. If you're listening live, if you're podcasting, it's the first hour. If that wasn't enough, on November 1st, she's going to kick Rick Cataldo's butt at Breaking Barriers 2, which is November 19th on iPay-per-view. She's going to be a part of Crossfire Entertainment's event in Nashville on November the 5th. Former TNA star, and as I said, she's going to be at WSU. Becky Bayless is going to be here. I can confirm that we are in the talks with some former ECW talent, some former TNA talent. Definitely some of the ladies at WSU will be gracing us with their presence again. Possibly a Jessica Havoc sighting. I don't know if she's going to kick any of us in the face, but hey. That should be one of those things. They have them custom shoots. I know Angel Orsini does them. I know Lexi Fife does them. April Hunter does them. I can see some dude junking down some change going, so what match do you want? I don't want a match. I just want to get in the ring and have Jessica Havoc kick me in the face.
Dude, we went, me and a couple of my buddies from training went to a strip club not too long ago. And I kid you not, there was an old dude who was probably about 60. And I asked one of the strippers what his deal was. Because I kept seeing him like just like this wad of 20s, and these girls would just walk over and knee him right in the junk. And that was his deal. He would pay the girls to just knee him in the balls.
Jeez. What a better way to go out on All That World of Wrestling Radio.
Online World of Wrestling. It's better than getting kneed in the balls.
You can follow all of us on Twitter, Wild Talk Radio, Kilted_Wiseman is the Spud Guy. I am. My name is Wojcik. If he's ever here, it's Kevin_K_Scott. We miss Jamal. Hopefully we will have him again soon. Thanks to Stevie Richards, Nigel McGuinness. What an awesome night. We get to do this each and every Tuesday night. I'm Alan Wojcik. My show's way better than yours, and I know it. Have a good night. Cross the train, gangsta, swing, block, slam, drop, cut, drop, drop. Look at the crowd shake. I'm going out, wait. I'll leave them sideways. Broken in pieces. All of the kids wave.